Actually, it's like a little bit something different today. I have a bit of a PowerPoint again. So I have a bit of a PowerPoint, but it's a bad one. But there's no color, there's nothing. It's just going to be words. But I've got 11 points. So I thought like 11 points, you know, I need to just have something there. So you'll see in how beautiful I've set it up now. But what I want to speak about is, just in conversation with people, you know, I've heard this challenge of hearing God's voice. And I know it's a thing that in Christian circles, we sometimes throw around frivolously, you know, when in doubt, well, what does God say? And suddenly this is like, what does God say? It's like, what are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do with your life? I don't know. What does God say? And it's like, as if it is that easy that you just sit in front of the slot machine and go, okay, I must do that, right? And I just want to say, you know, when I became a Christian, and especially becoming into a very much charismatic circle, from a very much traditional circle, and just hearing everybody speaking about what God is saying the whole time, I was like, something must be wrong with me here. Because I didn't hear it, right? And if we are a little bit more honest, that's probably the experience of most of us. Yet it is very clear that there is this life that is laid out for us in Christianity, which I don't like to say hearing God's voice, but it's like the life of the Spirit, or being led by the Spirit, is this life laid out for us. And there's some of those things that I think there's just some things that's out there that just is very unhelpful, that we do wrong and is not successful in being walking with the Spirit. So I quickly want to read a portion. It's very famous. It's in Ezekiel 47. And it's a picture where Ezekiel sees, and he sees a picture of how New Covenant, New Testament Christians would look like. So he's in this picture and this vision where he sees the temple. And then he saw the different sides of the temple. And then as from the one side of the temple doors open, and there's a river running from that. So I'm reading. Then he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces towards the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. all right, verse. Here we go. Going on eastwards with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. All right, so there's this temple. The river is running out of the temple. He's starting to walk through this river, which is ankle deep. It's a trickle. And they measure. There's a man, this man that's with him in this, the tour guide on the vision is there with a measuring stick. And he measures the ankle deep section of the river, which comes out to be 1,000 measurements. He led me through the water, and it was waist deep. I think I missed something now. I missed the old verse. All right, sorry. And again, the pattern is going to continue now, where he's going to measure. He's going to go for the next section of 1,000, which is ankle deep. Then it's waist deep. And then verse 5. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water has risen. It was deep enough. Flutters through. And actually, then in the next verse, he will jump out of the river, and then he walk on the river banks. And it is clear then, wherever that river goes, there was fruitfulness, there was trees, with a lot of fruit wherever this river goes. And so the point is, wherever this river goes, wherever the life of the Spirit is, whoever then sets the course on walking with the Lord and walking in the Spirit of the Lord, the result of it is, wherever it goes, there will be life and it will touch life. There's a few things just on this prophetic picture that needs a little bit of interpretation and consideration. So nothing is just said. The first thing that is very important about it is there is 1,000 cubits. 1,000 means something in scriptural language. So in numerology, which in the Hebrews, they would understand that there's certain meaning connected to certain numbers. And so the number 1,000, 10 means by the way. The number 10 means completion. And the number 1,000 means ultimate completion. That's why, I don't want to go into this, but why there's going to be a millennial reign. For 1,000 years, Jesus is going to reign. It's not going to be necessarily literal. The point is just it's going to be a completion, the ultimate completion of a certain reign. Anyway, I know you guys are very interested in that. So then here's the thing, right? I see many people that really want to hear the Lord. They want to hear prophetic words. It's like fortune telling, you know. If we can come into the booth and just clip. So we obviously want, we understand prophecy, and we kind of encourage that, and so that we'll be in a community where we can hear God for one another and help one another. But you know, there is a problem. Because we can't go deeper in the Lord unless we've completed what He has said to us in a certain season. Right? And so many wants to, woohoo! It's like, that is a common worship set encouragement. Today we're not going to go ankle deep. We're not going to go knee deep. We're not going to go waist deep. We're going to go all the way, guys. Are you ready this morning? We're diving in, that type of thing. But I mean, 1,000 measurements, guys, is not all done in one worship setting. It's a life where you actually do and complete and obey what the Lord is saying. And now, so I'm like, I do. It's like people come for, like, what is the Lord saying? And I'm like, look, I'm just, previously, you have not done what God is saying. Can we just complete that, please? Can we just finish in this season the things that God has, right? There's some other points that I want to mention on it. I think I will mention it as I go through the points that will revert back to it. Now, there's in our trying to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, I've seen people that's successful in it, and I've seen people that's less successful in it. And so, I'll say this as well. How do we hear God? We'll ask this question. How do you hear God? And so there is really various ways of how we hear God. And I want to say, when I just set up on the Christian journey, that was a big thing. I was discipled by a guy that was prophetic. He was a prophet, actually. And everything seemed so easy for him. So I would ask, he would say to me, God just said this to him. And I'm like, man, I just don't get it. I mean, how awesome might it be? God spoke to you. And it's like, let's just solve all the problems. Okay, what must I do? God just, okay. And so he said, no, it's easy. Just close your eyes and just. There was nothing. And I did that so many times. I was trying so hard. It was just nothing. And I'm like, it seems to be so integral. It seems to be so. And yet I don't get it. So one of the things that I would say that I find helpful, and I've mentioned it earlier, is I don't like it, the overemphasis of this words, God spoke to me. There is verses, we'll look at that verse now, that there is a verse in the Bible that encourages that. But the general wording that is used is, we are led by the Spirit. And so, suddenly, instead of waiting for the voice of heaven, this is the Lord speaking to you, you need to go left, 2 steps forward, and then right. I have discovered, firstly, that I have had isolated events like this in my life, but rare. But on a daily basis, I'm being led by the Spirit. And it is being able to recognize where He is and how He leads me, all right? So, I'm going to mention some of the things why I think people are, not I think, it's like Scripture tells us why people are messing this up and how many are not successful, and if they get out of this river banks, there's no fruit there. There's no trees because they're not in the river, all right? And so, I'm going to look at a couple of things. I hope I'm going to hit every point, and that it will pierce, and that you will recognize it in your life. Without taking too long, as I said, I had 11. I could have gone on to 20, but I I started putting points together and make them one. All right, so here, the first one that I will say is this. All right, these are the ones that do not walk. Okay, assumed and ignorant. You'll see I'll throw those two together. I'll just firstly say, there's a little star there, and I must say, that was not me. Yuck added it for me. Huh? How's that for a PowerPoint? So, many people are not led by the Spirit simply because they don't believe or they don't know that God wants to lead them. They don't believe and know that God is speaking. So because they do not know that, they never open themselves up for that. Now, there is in general a thing in the Christianity that puts all responsibility away from us and say, luckily for God's sovereignty, I will get wherever I need to get. That is not true. That is not true. It is clear that God has spoken to several people in the Bible that didn't do it. And God didn't go, oh, sorry, in my sovereignty, you disobeyed me. And now out of my schizophrenia, I'm very angry at you because I made you disobey what I said to you. I cannot believe that you did. Oh, I made you do it. No. You guys understand what I'm trying to say? Right? So Jesus says, whoever knows my will, and there seems to be something. There'd be something about those that knows his will and do it. Me and my Father will make my home with him. So where is Jesus? He is where his will is. And his will is but those that are able to hear his will and to do it. And so simply there's many, many Christians that never goes on the river. They very, very, almost zero fruitful. And they've never gone onto that journey of going ankle, knee, waist, deep into it. Now, the line, Old Testament, Old David, right? Before New Covenant, before Spirit was there, the line that was mostly associated, this is the line whenever all scriptures about David are more, amen. It's the number one line. It's more line than any other line with him. And David inquired of the Lord. And David inquired of the Lord. So, the other thing that I want to also say about the ignorant is, I think the problem that we did, and I give you guys my issue now that I had, is when I got saved then in a very charismatic setting where this was thrown around. And I'm just saying, for people that get saved in our midst, we have a lot of unhelpful language, right? And so God spoke to me. It's like everybody is like, and it's like God didn't just speak a line, man. It's like paragraphs that God's speaking to these guys, you know. And I'm sitting there, it's like, just give me a letter. Just give me a symbol. Just give me something. Right? And there was nothing. But then there's a verse, we can quickly go to John 10, verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So the question is, who is this sheep? Like, we have to go a theological question here. Who would be regarded as a sheep? It's a Christian. Like, we can say saints, but let's say born-again believer, that's a sheep. You're not a goat, you're a sheep, which I assume is most of us here. And so Jesus is not saying, he doesn't say they will, he doesn't say they can. He says they hear him. If you're a Christian, you hear God. The problem is you don't recognize that you hear God. And so God is speaking, but you're not completely ignorant to the fact that he is speaking to you. And so the river is rushing past, but you're not in there getting it. And so one of the big discoveries for me is, firstly, I want to say, can I just say, when people say God said, and they give like lines upon lines, paragraphs and paragraphs, I'm going to say something now. They're lying. In one way, they're lying. I don't know if that's liberating or whatever. So this is what happens. I tell you, I discovered that's what's happening. This is what's happening. Most of the times in situations like this is there is what I will call an impression that I get. I get a certain impression. I've got a certain sense. You know what I do? In order to communicate with other humans what I'm sensing, I put words around it. I can't just like zoop, give the sense. I'm going like, this is the impression around it that I give, which later on becomes God says, which later becomes my interpretation of this impression, which sounds like God said. It's like unhelpful for people that for the first time is on this journey. I'm trying to be led by the Spirit. I'm just saying, right? And so for me, when I discovered that, it was already quite liberating. So I would kind of, and then I started noticing my impressions. And then I started standing still at my impressions. And I'm like, all right, okay. And after time of training myself and giving myself to it, that I start interpreting the impressions better. Now, I put words on it, obviously, but I'm careful just many times to communicate in a way that God says, as if I've worded word for word. I sometimes hear God giving me words, but then it's many times just a word. But that word is so, I will walk in a room and I hear the Lord says, greedy. And like that already has 7 sermons for me there, right? But it's one word that's been able for me to understand. And then usually I've got a sense with it to be able to bring across certain things. All right? So this is what my journey was. God speaks a language. And the language that he speaks to me is Carl. And he speaks Naku to Naku. He speaks a language that she had to come and discover. I had to come and discover. I'm saying the language now. I had to learn how to be led by him and recognize that he is speaking and being awake to it. The problem is many is ignorant about it and it just passed them by. The other one that I just coupled with that is assumption. And the problem is, you know, I sometimes hear the Lord and I get say for instance, I give a word and I preach that word. Oh, God's glory was there, God's power is there. Obviously, it was in the word. So the next Sunday or next place that I go to, I preach the same word. Boom, no power. I assumed, you know, that because of that thing. Or I see it, the worship guys, we reflect sometimes, you know. And we worship, boom, one song comes up and it's clear. Boom, Jesus walks in the room. It's like as if Jesus liked that song. They're like, thank you. And Jesus is in the room, suddenly there's life in the meeting and so on. And we go like, guys, we've discovered that's Jesus' favorite song. Next Sunday, we just play. This is a song, guys. Scrape old songs. That song we've got. Next Sunday, we play that song. Jesus changes the whole time. I don't know what it is with him, you know. He never stands still. His favorite song for the day is always different. And he keeps us depending on him and hearing him so that we will not fall in the trap of assumption or assuming just because something used to work. Or the dot goes doop, doop. Nope, easier. And so that will be another trick. The ignorant and the assumers. Number 2. Oh, okay. The soulish. The soulish. All right. So, quickly, man's makeup, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, is body, soul, spirit. Spirit is where Jesus resides and lives. Right? That's in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I don't have a deal, but you guys can check it. May you be sanctified, body, soul, spirit. And so the soul, so firstly, the spirit is that area where Jesus resides in our hearts. He came to live. 1 Corinthians, I feel like I need to establish a little bit of a theology here. I thought like I could just go for it, but it seemed like I'll just quickly go over a bit of a theology. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he that is born of the Spirit has become one spirit with the Lord. His spirit and my spirit has become one. The spirit of a man is where the Spirit of God resides. It has become one. And so that's easy. That's where the spirit is. But the soul area then is the secondary area of a man's life. It's usually where our emotions is. It's where our intellect is. And it's where our will is. Now, all of us here have emotions. Even the Russians. Even the Russians. They are there. You have to. But it's there. All of us have intellect, even. Never mind. And so here's the problem with Christians is their souls are overgrown and their souls are leading. And so they are strong emotional and they experience things strongly emotional. And before they know it, the spirit is subjecting to their emotion. And they hear God through their emotion. And so they are many times led by emotion. So, again, you know, we must be careful in the church, you know. I remember I once, I preached at a meeting. And I had a story where I told people of the crucifixion of Jesus. And I started making it. I was like, I need to get some impact there. It's like a lot of student goals actually there. And I thought, like, I need to get some impact there. And I started going on the gruesomeness of, and then it's like, and the nail went through. And as I saw I having them here. And I'm just winding it up, you know. After a while, these girls are crying. It's like, and I'm like, I mean, for a preacher, tears up. That's like gold. I mean, it's like, wow. Many times here, if I hear a guy preach, I was the preach. Great, there was people crying. Right? So I'm like, and then I'm just winding it up more and more, you know. And afterwards, I walked away, and it's just like I had this moment with the Lord, and I was like, And I could feel Him say to me, you did nothing by just stirring up emotion now. You didn't touch the spirit of anybody. You just merely psyched up an emotion. And so in the church, we can do that often as well. Another thing, I just want to say, we connect emotionally to many things. We connect emotionally to a past event. And then if you play the nice song with it as well, it just lifts it up. That's what movies does. I mean, you take the soundtrack away, it's like, poor. You just put the music in, suddenly the event becomes more important. And we've got certain connections, emotional connections to it. We've got, we've got sentiment on certain things, right? And then because of a sentiment, we give value to certain circumstances, people, and we reflect that God does the same. God is not sentimental, sorry. He's just free from that. Yeah, I know you guys. No, he is. No, he isn't. He isn't. He doesn't have that emotional connection as you have to that things and that you try and put it on him. He's free from that. And emotions is not. Here's the trick for us. We need to get our emotions. We have to have emotions. Please. Even my Russian friends. So we that's what we're trying to stir up actually there. But emotions needs to come under. It can't be on top. It must come under. So that we are led by the Spirit with under emotion. That the emotion is an expression of it, but not a leader of it. The second one is the intellect. And I don't want to say too much. My points take too long here. The second one is the intellect. Now, as much as the church is divided, and some churches are overly emotional, some churches are overly intellectual. And so it's all about stimulating your intellect. Now, can I say this? That God is going to be outside your logic. And so one of the big blocks that keep people to be in the river is their logic. And so because they want to put their human reasoning on God and God is just popping out there, they can never get into the river. And then I'll say this is intellect, believe it or not, but our intellect and the powers of our intellect gives us zero advantage as a Christian. I used to thought that. I thought like clever people can figure this Christianity out quicker. I found the opposite. Whoever comes to me must be like little children. And so one of the big things to get into the river is really at some stage to put human reasoning out of the way. All right, number three, schizophrenia. Okay. So this is my name for these states. It's going to get now better and juicier. Okay, so the spiritual schizophrenias are these ones. Okay, they really committed to hear God. Okay, but they starting hearing God, or they feel the need to hear God in everywhere. And I'll explain now. And then at some stage, it gets such a trap for them. In that they, it's almost like they started getting knotted up. So I spoke to a guy, and he's like, listen, I need to hear God and what university I need to go to. All right. I feel he says Stellenbosch. All right. I need to hear God what hostel I need to go to. All right. Okay, he spoke that one. No, it's not enough. I need to know what floor. All right. I need to know what hallway on that floor. I need to know what room number. I need to know what side of the bed or the room, right? And so I've seen people then giving themselves, and I'll explain to you, remember God is our father, not our mother, right? He won't tell us what we need to wear every day. It's like, listen, there's an option, pick one, go, right? So then when people are in that positioning, they get, and I think it's the devil just overplaying their hand. Have you ever been like walk in a mall? Shucks, I should testify to that person. Maybe I must just go onto the stage somewhere in the mall and just shout, Jesus loves you. I must do that. No. And then the voice tells me that. And I've had a girl that she was on this spiritual schizophrenia. That she couldn't buy any clothes. She will buy clothes. And just as she's out, she feels like, you should give this to the poor. Okay, Jesus, I'll do that. And then just as she does that, you know, she's like, no, why do you still have shoes on? Yeah. Right? I don't know if some of you have, not everybody get that stage, but there are people that in different levels of that fall into that type of trap. I'll just quickly give you guys advice in what I've told people on that, you know. So what I would say is, like, for a moment, you know, on the playing field, when you live your life out there, just ignore all voices. Just don't do it. Just don't go there. For a season, just don't on the moment try and be led by the Spirit, all right? Just ignore those voices, and for a season, only hear the Lord with big decisions, in your room with others around you. In the rest out there, you just ignore, obviously, and stay in the bounds of Scripture until that schizophrenia has passed away, you know? And I just, what I would do many times, what I've seen with guys like that, is I would go, hear God in your room, and where there's less of this, all this other dynamics past, and pick up what is the season. You know, pick up what is it what God has for you, and help you to navigate. You know, if it's a season that you must give all the way to the poor, I mean, sure, but I mean, it's just random, these type of things. That people get caught up. You guys understand what I'm saying? All right, next one. The deceived. Okay, how many of you here is deceived? Can I just hear? Just like Vian is deceived. All right, anybody else? Anybody else is deceived? So can I just say, if you would have put up your hand and say, I am deceived, that's an oxymoron. You cannot acknowledge that you're in deception. I mean, deception means I have veered off the right track, thinking that I'm on the right track. So the moment that I acknowledge I'm in deception, I'm no longer in deception. All right? Do you see how deceiving that is? Because I tell you as sure as can be, there's people in this room that's deceptive. Ah, deceit, not deceptive. That may be as well. But are deceived. I might be deceived right now. I might be deceived right now here. Right? And probably there are areas that I'm deceived. But I don't know it. And that's a dangerous one for us all here. That is the deception is a killer, because you meaning when you're in it, you don't know that you're in it. Oof, and woe to the one that tries to tell you that you're just, how dare you, right? So here's certain things that I just want to please ask for us all to understand. All right. Understanding the heart, our hearts are deceitful above all things. It's been said, it's clear. It's more deceiving than the devil. Of the most deceptive things in the world, the number one spot goes to the heart. Number one spot. Where's your heart? Is it standing out on the stage and speaking objectively from you and go like, go left, go right? No, no, no. Your heart is in a very, very dangerous place right in you. And the most deceptive thing in the universe allows you to feel, experience, perceive, consider. It's your vehicle for which interprets life to you. The most deceptive thing in the whole universe, your heart is doing all of that. Now, can I say, the best place that we can be is to understand that all of us here is susceptible to deception. And when it comes to hearing God, understand that the thing that interprets hearing God is my heart, the most deceptive thing. So I'm just saying, handle with care. Know who you are. The most sure thing for being deceived is think that you are free from that. And I can do this. I'm going to do a few testers now to just show you guys all of that. But hang on. So that's the first thing. The second thing is about, it says, Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's a powerful verse. The problem is we delight ourselves in our desires, and we hope that the Lord will bless us with those. So I've known with me that whenever I ask God concerning me, that I am susceptible to deception. I am biased. God, tell me, how am I doing? Great. Thought so. It's much easier for me to hear God for others. I don't have that bias towards me, so it's much easier for me to pick up. So when I hear from myself, I don't just go like, oh, what do I sense? What do I feel? My track record for others is like considerably better because I'm not so susceptible to it. So when I kind of hear from myself, I do ways that I know I couldn't have any influence into it. For instance, we were just married we both decided we really wanted to go to Japan. That feels to be the right way to use. So I'm like, going on a holiday to Japan, if I have to be honest, we need to hear God. That would be quite nice. So I'm like, I'm not going to hear God in that way. So I'm saying, God, speak to me in a way that I couldn't say. So what I do, don't try it at home if it's not your thing, but that's what I did. I said, God, give me a verse. And I don't just open up the Bible and go, look, I just give me an address. So I wait and I felt an address. I went to the Bible, went to that verse, never heard, seen the verse before. It says, fly away and be at peace. That was the verse, I promise you. So I mean, I know it's completely out of context and every theologian will shoot me right now. But I knew that one. That's supernatural. Our God has kind of intervened and speak to me about about this type of things. So, and understand, be honest that you have desires. Be honest about your desires. And treat it with absolute, absolute care. Right. The other thing that I want to say that is, you know, the Bible says that we all are prone to deception. Paul makes a specific point. Paul was not a preacher in the 21st century. Paul made this statement in 1 Timothy 2. He says, women submit to your husbands, and I don't like women to do certain things in the church because women are susceptible to deception. And so therefore, I would rather prefer that certain tasks will only go to men. I didn't say it. Paul said it. But I want to ask you, even if I say it right now, as I said that one. I mean, everything that I said up till now, it's like, ha, 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 ha. So, if this is your reaction, can I say, if this is your reaction, I'll show him. I can stay on track without. You've been caught out. That's exactly what Paul is speaking about, and it's exactly the attitude that I say just before that I say, I'll show you now. I'll show him. I'll show them that I don't need others or to come others to stay on track. Now, and I want to say that Paul is honest about it. He says, like, look, woman, you must understand that your makeup makes you prone to deception. Therefore, and Paul's point is, stay in a place that you are under, and so that you will not be like Eve that went on and start becoming to lead the ship. And, right? Understand it. Now, God has given me a helper. Now, I thought when God said that, someone is going to bring me tea and coffee in the morning. I mean, give me a helper. Expectations, you know. Come into my room. Why is my... Come into the room. Why is my clothes still laying on the floor? I thought I've got a helper here. So I've had to come to realize after a while that that's not quite what God was meaning. Yeah. Luckily, she didn't fly away. I flew with her. So I've come to realize, and it took a long time. It took, what's it now, 18 years, in the discovery and the learning, that God has given me a helper to keep me in the ways of God. So for a long time, I thought it used to annoy me. For a long time, I thought it's to keep me back. But after 1,000 deaths and humbling myself, I went like, shucks, she's right. She was right. And after many years, many times when my wife gets a concern, instead of going, I tell you, I see the guys. I see the guys when his wife is just one big annoying. And he's just trying how to keep her quiet all the time. And how to keep her arm's length all the time. I see that. I don't trust a guy like that. I don't trust a guy like that. He's ignoring his helper that God is giving him to keep him on track. 2 weeks ago. And I'm just giving you a snippet. This is almost happening a weekly day in my life. Right? God has given me the perfect helper. I praise him for that helper. He didn't give me one. It's like, it's like, that tells me how great I am. I wish. It's like, can't you just tell me I'm so great? But no. So now, I 2 weeks ago, we had a, somebody at PM phones me. He says, like, listen, next Sunday, I need someone to preach at this event. Would you please do it? And I'm thinking, oh, this, it will be all right. I can help this guy out. We can preach the gospel. And I'm thinking, what do we have Sunday? We've got the fellowship. It was last Sunday. It was fellowship Sunday. So I think, like, yeah. I said to him, yes, I will do it. And I see the guy later that Sunday. Knock is with me. I forgot to tell my wife that I said yes to that. So I see, and the guy comes to me and knocking, and says, like, hey, here I am. Remember next Sunday? Yeah, I said, yeah, that's right. And then Knock goes, like, what? Like, no, don't worry, I'll explain to you later. And he says this, remember the camp and so on. And Knock, and like, she goes, that's such a stupid idea. Why did you do this? I'm like, hey. It was harsher, probably. It's like, I'm like, baby, I'll explain to you now. I'll explain to you now. She's like, no. What are you doing? So I'm like, okay. Well, I'm trying to keep the peace. Listen, everything is fine here. Don't worry. So I go back, and I tell you, there was a time. So I know my wife. I know that she wants me to walk in my call. I know that she wants me to walk in the fullness of what God has for me. She is not trying to kill my call. Definitely not. In fact, she finds pleasure in me walking in my call. Definitely. And she says to me, you know, and that reaction, my usual reaction was, it's like, this is God. This could be God. The reaction of my helper could be God here. So I go, and she says, you going to a meeting and missing something like Fellowship Sunday gives the impression to people that you value preaching more than fellowshipping with the people. And you lay that value down, you know, you instilled it in people. I'm like, but it's, what is the benefit of going to that meeting? Well, nothing, but I thought, and I went, and I realized she was right. She, my helper has helped me here to stay on the path of the Lord. So I phoned Rudy and said, Rudy, you're probably in any way better with the kids. You go take that session, and I'll submit to my wife. But it wasn't, it wasn't the submission thing. It was. I submit to her. I submit. It was like we submit one to another. I acknowledge that God has given her in my life. And I tell you, for many of you, what finds annoying, I'm speaking more to the married. Like, nothing could annoy me until I got married, right? You'll see. Right? And so I'm honestly, I see guys that keeps his wife arm's length and don't want him like, you know, just keep her mouth shut, just keep her distance. I'm telling you, it's difficult for me to trust somebody like that. And so how do I hide from deception? I am in a position of submission all the time because I realize I can miss it. A guy, Ryan Kingsley, He said when he tells girls how to look for the right guy, he says only two things. He must love God and he must be easy to submit. Two conditions. A guy that loves God and easy to submit. Oh, a guy that's wise in his own eyes. It's like a woman that's wise in her own eyes. Right? All right. Sorry. We need to, don't get deceived. Next point, please. For those that really can hear God would have known now. This is the tester. The accused. All right. So, guys, remember, God speaks and the devil speaks. Now, very few of us get confused on certain matters. Like, there's a whisper that says, go open your phone and watch porn. Nobody goes like, was that God or was that the devil? Go cheat on your wife. Is that God or is that? All right, if you struggle with that, please come. I've got a God. All right? That's. But you know what? When it comes to sin, that's an issue. Because the devil is in the business of making you feel bad as well. Now, what I have found once, I'll say, for instance, when I was younger, wanted to hear the Lord, and there was a certain movie that I wanted to watch. And I we were friends, and I go like, it's just like this check in my heart, you know, Jesus is all right. I feel fine. So I watched this movie. It's like, there's nothing like outrightly really wrong with this movie or something. I was like, that's fine. After the movie, a voice comes to me. I can't believe that you did that. And I felt like, oh, shucks, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. And I felt very, very accused. And so often I have found then that I had this suddenly feels guilty about certain things. And the question is, guys, we be led by the Spirit. Is it God or is it the devil? Now, I want to say that is one of the big things that the enemy gets into us and start accusing us. Now, here's certain things that I want to tell you how the devil works. Okay. God always warns beforehand. The devil always accuses afterwards. So, and the devil, like I said, he's a fart. He doesn't play nice. So this is what the devil do. You know, you feel lonely at home, and the devil goes, he's a sympathizer. He understands you. I know, it's lonely, huh? All your friends are away. Maybe go out and just have a couple of drinks. It'll make you feel better. And I understand. We understand. And you're like, yeah, it's like, I understand. You go out, you go have your I mean, guys, I'm just an example here. Let's make it watch on your phone and watch porn. You alone, just watching your phone and get porn. It's going to make you feel better. It's like, I understand. I mean, it's like, and then by this time, everybody's doing it, all that type of things. You know, the case is brilliant, and he gets you in it, and as soon as he gets you, he just turns around. Like, you, I cannot believe it. You are dirty. You are, same guy. Sympathizer on the one side, an accuser on the other side. So what does God do? He just does the opposite. Right? He comes beforehand. And when I come to, for instance, a movie, is it all right? God will warn me beforehand. He doesn't warn me afterwards. Warn me, accuse me afterwards. He goes beforehand. He says, no, I don't want, no, I mean, if you just harden your heart, that's another story. Right? But afterwards, God goes, he says, don't do this. You shouldn't do it. Don't watch porn. My son, this is not good for you. You do it. He goes to him guilty, and he doesn't go, you pig. And then he shows sympathy, and then he shows mercy. You see the other way around this of how the devil and God works? The other thing that the devil does in conviction of sin and accusation of sin, he always keeps it vague. So he always are disempowering. You are wrong. You just had a night out with your brothers. You know, you have that night out with your brothers. You just reflect. You're just like, what's my sense about the time? How was the time? I just feel lekker. I did something wrong. What did you do wrong? I don't know. I'm just wrong. Just say sorry. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. But it doesn't feel released because you can't point it out. So it just keeps it vague. The devil loves to keep you in that spot. He keeps it vague so you can't actually repent of it. You just know you're wrong. He just keeps you in the wrong. God is very clear. He's empowering. This is what happened. Repent. Gone. Finish. You guys understand the... Okay? I'm quick here now, okay? Accused. The manipulators. Oh, all right, guys. So the manipulators. All of us in the church have learned that the ultimate card to get my way is God said. All right, I was in Bible school, and then there was a time that is like Bible school is a very intense environment. So there's guys and girls at a Bible school, and people are very vulnerable in that state, and there's a tendency for people to fall in love. And they're in one another's spaces all the time. And so at some stage, you know, you're just like, you need to manage it. So it's like, okay, guys, no more dating. No rule. That's the rule. And then we go like, oh, okay, that's maybe too extreme. Unless we're really convinced this is God. Shouldn't have done that. For the next months, oh, man, knock on my door. You know what? God spoke to me. I'll tell you now also how people learn to manipulate things. God spoke to me. And so then I had to make another rule. I don't care whether God speaks to you. No dating. I don't care, all right? So can I ask? So it is a funny thing, you know. There is a sense almost with us that the elder gives permission. It's like, I've submitted to my elders. That's the ultimate line. I've submitted to my elders. I got the stamp. Now I can do what I want. If I can just get past them. Look, the point is not to get past me. The point is to do God's will. Can we just give ourselves to that, right? So I feel like the guy at the airport that gives the stamp is like, please, can I come through? Please, just let me through. I'll give you my reasons. God said, I promise. Just give the stamp. I don't do that stuff anymore. I don't do that stuff anymore. I am committed to your God with you, but I am not the stamp that you can wave your ticket and say, well, I've submitted to the elders. It should be fine. Can I want to say, you know, and God, hear me here, please. But if you've ever used these words, God said, in order to attempt to get your way, woe to you. That's Old Testament prophet stuff. False prophets. Step away. That's stepping away. Right? So can we in the way that we handle that, just take the God says away. And at least be at a place that we are like this. I think God is saying, help me. When people present it, I can see you when somebody comes to present a case and find a way. Now, this tricky way. So people know now. And elders, if you like it, the elders is probably not going to, they're going to say no. So present it like this. Listen, God spoke to me, but let me tell you, I don't want to go. This is terrible for me. God said, but this is so hard for me. I'm like, the best, Michaela Gordon, she's the best, you know. I'll tell you why. So Michaela wants to, she comes to us, she goes and she said, I feel like I need to go to Italy. I so badly want to go there. There was nothing. She didn't package that one. It's like, just say at least like, oh, I don't want to go there, but God spoke to me. No, no, no. Oh, I just so want to. What is God saying? I don't know, but I really want to go. But you know what was so cool? And just considering with her, that desire was from the Lord. But many of us will never present it like that. We are more sneaky in the way that we do it. Right? And so when people can be, they can present stuff like this. Look, if God said, you know, you don't have to convince others. But as soon as I see people are like that in their convincing strategy, oh, yeah, there's something wrong here. Right? Manipulator. My wife, you guys will be very happy. She is my helper, and she says, my time is up. The hasty. Next point. She can make mistakes, and the Lord can override her. All right. Christians, like, is different from any other person in the world. They feel the need that God needs to give them a map. Imagine now we play a rugby game. You know when you the players say to the coach, "Coach, I need to know what's going to happen at 2 minutes, 33 seconds into the game. Should I push? Should I kick? Should I whatever?" It's like, I don't know. Let's see how it pans out, and then we will know. I can tell you when it's there. No. The only thing that we have control over is the guy that's kicking off and starting the game. From there on, no one knows what's going to happen. And we need to react depending on what's happening. That's life, guys. That's how life also works, except for the Christian. No. They want to know what's going to happen in 1 minute, 41 seconds. Do I need to go to the left or do I need to the right? Is that too much to ask God? Just speak to me. Right? No, he doesn't. He doesn't work like that. He doesn't speak like that. When you're there, he will let you know. So I see, when a T-junction comes before people's lives, student life, it's end of the third years, and I see the T-junction coming. Am I going to go left or right, forward, whatever? It is, people start sweating blood a year before, and it's like, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. And it's all that they ever can get. God, give me direction. Now, what I've learned is the will of God, and hear what I'm saying, like a rugby game, tends to pan out. It tends to declare itself and show itself. Now, Jesus says in one story, he tells this parable of weeds and wheat. Right? I said right. Weed and weeds. You know, when they this big, they look the same. Christian says this thing, "Oh, I need to make a call. Pluck out. You pluck out the way of the Lord, and you keep in that which is not from God. If you can just hang on, guys. Christian, hang on. Hang on. The will of the Lord will reveal itself. It pans itself out. And many times we just... So the hasty. Okay? Don't do that. Oh, baby. Just quickly go to the mystic. Okay. The mystic is seeing... They're over-spiritualizing and seeing signs of God everywhere. All right? Most of them are so impractical also about it. But it's like there was thunder today. Oh, God's wrath is on us again. I see it. They walk past a frog. Oh, yeah, I know that's like, it's God, he's speaking to me about, ancient this and that, right? I have instances where God does that. But to over-spiritualize every experience as if there's a message in it all the time is over the top, and people miss stuff, right? People go off the river in that type of thing. Do you guys understand what I'm trying to say? You guys say yes because you guys are hasty. Okay. The hard and hard is simply like this. God spoke to us, and you don't do it. That's deadly. God speak to me. Now I'll be better next time, guys. Don't leave now, really. I'm joking. Who's going to leave? I'm waiting for somebody to stand up and says, "You've got the words of life, weren't you?" Anyway, hard and hard is, you obey, God spoke to you and you didn't obey God. And so this is how it happens, guys. God speaks to me. Do it. At that side, you've got two options. Either you can do it or you don't. It's a bit of an arm wrestle between you and God. If you ignore him long enough, that voice will go away. Just ignore him. Just you and God wrestle. Just ignore him. Ignore him. No. It's getting softer. Boom. Voices are gone. You know what has happened? It's not that the voice got softer. Your heart got harder. And you've fallen into a condition that you can't hear him anymore. Okay? Hardened hearts is terrible. Guys, how do we get out of hardened hearts? Go back to where you didn't do it and obey. Repent and obey, and the heart will go softer. Why isn't it so? Next one. Fearful. I will just say the fearful. Why the fearful don't walk with the Lord? The fearful don't walk with the Lord because this is, can I just say, if God speaks to us and it requires obedience, it's going to be a risk. It's going to be a risk. You can't avoid the risk. And so it is classically like the disciples is in the boat, Jesus in the water, and he says, "Step out of the boat." And so can I tell you, I so many times have hoped when God speaks to me, he will then lift my leg up He will place it on the water and carry me. But no, he just says, come. Oh, is it all? Come on. Yeah, come. And if you haven't had that experience, you haven't heard God. That's happening. And so many are not walking in the river because they still sit in the boat. The only way, guys, that is the part of what there's something that we will have to risk. And all of us here, if you have been on the journey of trying to be on this river, have made mistakes. The mistakes have helped me in hearing the Lord better. You can't avoid the risk. Know it today. You're going to make mistakes. But if we want to stick in the river and see the fruitfulness of God, it's part of the package. We can't avoid that. I think that's the last point, is it? That points will be there. All right, guys, I'm praying for us. And then we'll then go. Father, I thank you for the Spirit. I thank you for this journey that you've given us, Father, that we are not on our own. That we learn how to walk with you, Jesus. That we learn how to venture with you. That's what New Testament is all about, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this river, Lord, that you've on us, that will bring fruitfulness and life to the nations. Father, I pray that you will teach us. That you will teach us how to be wild, Father. And that we will not be Christians really sitting and walking on dry riverbanks with zero fruit. But Father, that we'll come to a place and learn how to walk with you, live with you, walk in your ways, and see your life and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Cool. That's it. Physicists, please remember.